Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Butter.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Johnny McCagg Band with Here We Go. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Craig.
We almost didn't know which way to go because we swapped spots. And Greg's on the opposite side of me today.
We're going clockwise.
Yeah, so we made it. We made it work. Good for us.
We paused, but hey, we're there.
Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You'll find me at Zephamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Check us out on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And go to our website, PifflesPodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going up there. Sorry it hasn't been a lot lately.
It's the dead season.
There's been no real news.
Well, until this past week until when everything got really, really fun.
And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive here in Regina. Check out the great happy hour, drink specials, half price Monday to Friday. And guys, it's actually spring now, officially. What better way than to go get a blizzard or any kind of ice cream at Dairy Queen?
Screw the blizzard. Go get an orange creamsicle cone when they come out.
Yeah.
No, that summer berry shortcake sundae, whatever the heck that thing is, that is my jam right there.
I refuse to get that until they take blueberries out of it and leave them on their own where they belong. They took away blueberries. I've been sad ever since.
You're wrong.
I'm sorry.
Sky is, oh, I'm not going to have this until they do that. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to have pumpkin pie until Thanksgiving. Yeah. Screw you.
There's no pleasing you. There's no pleasing you.
It's accurate. That's correct.
Anyway, just go to Dairy Queen. That's the main thing we have out of this. We don't have a lot of news to get to, but we got a lot to talk about, and let's just get right into it here. Time for the opening kickoff. All right, so the real headlining news for the Riders, at least in the past, month, is really big news. Dakota Shepley, offensive lineman, first-round draft pick from last year, signed a three-year deal, a two-year deal, plus a team option, so a three-year deal. Huge signing for the O-line, gives them lots of flexibility. I'll throw it to you guys. What's the take on this one?
I like it. Good young Canadian kid from all accounts. Great player out of UBC. And he had NFL options. Some NFL teams took a serious look at him. He ended up doing a movie somewhere in there as well. So, no, I can't wait to see what he brings. I'm really excited.
I was legitimately surprised that this happened so early in the offseason. I expected him to sign at some point, but I thought he'd wait the NFL out, you know, a little while longer. Especially signing a three-year deal. I mean, he's sticking it out in the CFL, and I love it. I can't wait.
So this gives us a lot of flexibility. We were talking about not having Josiah St. John, who still remains a free agent. And, okay, well, where's our depth on the O-line? Well, this changes everything. So now with Canadians, you have Dakota Shepley, who can play tackle as well, too. Maybe that's in the plans. And you can start four Canadian linemen. You got Brendan Labatt, you have Dan Clark, you have Philip Blake, and you have a returning from injury, Darius Bladek. All of a sudden, our O-line that we were questioning big time last year is looking pretty solid right now.
You look at this roster right now, and the two spots you have to concentrate on the most in the CFL are your O-line and your D-line. Everything. You win the battle in the trenches, you're more likely to win a game. I'm shocked at how we have solidified both sides of that line in, you know, 2 years. I would put that O-line up against almost anybody's compared to last year when who would we put our O-line up against and be happy?
I think they overachieved last year.
Yeah.
But they were still really good last year after, you know, poor, what, first three, four games? They were fantastic the rest of the year.
Yeah, besides Claros going down, they actually kept him upright when other than that injury. So, yeah, they overachieved more than they expected. Then they picked up Blake halfway through the season, which is even better for us.
So what you're saying is, other than the times that he got knocked down, they kept him up.
You know what I meant.
That's, That's astute observation.
If you score more points, you win the game too.
Yeah.
This doesn't really Steve thing.
Why we pay him the big bucks.
I haven't got paid yet.
That's exactly why you get it now. Yeah.
Crap.
But the nice thing, and the offense this year, again, it's going to be a pretty run-heavy offense. We run a lot of six O-lineman sets, where one basically is an extra blocking tight end. Even in the meantime, until Shepley gets into the CFL game, learns the nuances and playbook and whatever, right? Maybe you throw him out there as the sixth. If Bladeck's not ready to come back, or they're not happy with his progression, or whatever, injuries happen, but you have a guy that can go out there and be that sixth right now and just go out there and just block.
That is what they did with St. John for quite a bit to get him some game reps, is trotted him out as that sixth guy. I'm not opposed to that at all.
And the good news is, with him signing this early, we won't have a repeat of St. John showing up halfway through the season, burning a year of his contract, and he never caught up. He literally never caught up after that.
And what I like about this too is the CFL draft's coming up pretty soon. This gives us a little flexibility as to what we can do in the first couple of rounds. Riders don't have a third round pick this year, but picking, what is it, 6th and 16th in the first two rounds this year, they could go receiver, they could go D-line, they could go defensive back as well, which is kind of a position in need for Canadians right now. So they can actually probably go with best player available, regardless of position, instead of drafting that O-line, which we have needed the last few years. So, options, which is always good for a general manager, especially a young, new general manager like Jeremy O'Day.
What a strange feeling to go into a draft as one of those teams that can just look for the next big guy that they need, as opposed to, no, we need an O-lineman. No, we need...
So do we? Can we change our minds on Chris Jones' draft grades the last couple of years then? Now that, you know, Cam Judge and Dakota Shepley, Darius Bladeck?
There's no arguing his success.
Well, the 2017 draft was a lot better than the 2016 draft.
That's 2016,
yeah. 2016.
I said in 2016, Chris Jones didn't care about Canadian players.
Yeah, and
I thought, I still kind of think the same, that he can go out and buy them instead. And that's kind of what he did.
If you're going to grade on a curve, it's a lot better than what it looked like, that's for sure. Cam Judge panned out, even though for a while there, after that Twitter freak out, everyone was like, oh God, here we go again. Josiah, it seems like he's going to be a good player. It's going to depend if he lands somewhere. He showed last year, he showed flashes where I wouldn't mind to see him back, but we're getting to the point.
He frustrated the crap out of Micah Johnson that one game against Calgary.
Exactly. Like, he's shown he can play. It just took him a long time to get there. So
Chris Best took till his fourth year to start.
Exactly. So, it's not as bad as it looked, but yeah, that first draft, oh my God, that looked terrible.
So, that one signing, Dakota Shepley, that's all the real news that we have in terms of player signings, but it does create a lot of options with this team going forward, and it's a huge move. So don't underestimate an O-lineman signing here. And there were a couple other technical signings. They were only for one day. And the first one was Tristan Jackson, former kick returner. You guys might have heard my interview with him, so check that out on the Piffles Podcast website as well. And Macho Harris. This is when you guys do the, ooh, yeah, snap to a Slim Jim, yeah. Dig it. You don't get it.
I understand.
No, no. Steve is familiar with popular culture and the Macho Man, Randall Savage.
Randall?
That's when he's being formal.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, when he has the hat on.
Yeah, when he has the crown, actually.
That's the Macho King.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, one-day contract. So, Tristan Jackson spent 9 years in the league, 5 of them with the Riders. I think if he spends 5 years somewhere, that's reasonable to sign a one-day deal and retire with the team. Macho Harris? At least Tristan Jackson was the second all-time in kick return yards for the Riders behind Corey Holmes. Macho Harris, other than his one 3-interception game in 2015 when we were absolutely terrible.
Against Montreal,
who was absolutely terrible. What did he do? He wasn't a bad player by any means. He was serviceable.
First question though. Who didn't know that Macho Harris was retired already?
I thought he was retired already.
Technically, he hasn't played in, what, 2 seasons? Yeah, I think he has been retired. I don't understand. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand. It's nice. He's local now. He's married with kids. And It was probably good, but I don't understand the point of that. Like, why?
Do we even care about one-day contracts anymore? I know people are going to... We'll care about it when Weston Dressler does, and hopefully he does choose to retire a rider, and I'm assuming that he will.
Probably. Soon.
But, like, those ones, and those are guys that have been around for a long time and make a huge impact on the team.
I'm waiting for the junior Mertile one-day contract to retire as a rider. One-day contracts are, like...
Stupid.
They are. And this, we can get into the retiring numbers, too, if you guys really want to go into it.
Oh, should we?
Because I know
we were going to do that last week, so that was the only thing that we had planned, so that's
and
why we didn't do
it. And Alex yelling at each other. But it's... honor is a overstatement. It's for the guy... It's like for a Doc Holliday who left Toronto and didn't want to leave. He came back and wanted to retire as a Blue Jay. It's for Darren Durant, when he officially retires again... As
how many other bonuses?
Yeah, you pay me $70,000 and retire as a rider. It's for situations like that, and I get it. But Macho Harris, he spent 4 years here.
The question is: are we retiring Macho Harris the player or just his hair? Because that is the only memorable thing about his play.
Until that three interception game, his highlight was that Ryder Jr. Reporters segment where they did the Soul Glow ad. That's it. He serviceable player, very friendly, great with the fans.
I don't
understand the point. I'm sorry, he's been out of the game for 2 years already. What was the point of it? And I guess it doesn't hurt anybody, I just don't get it.
We got a couple questions. What were the terms of his contract? The terms of his contract were, he retired. That's it. These one-day, I can't tell you how much I dislike one-day contracts as a whole, even for the big guys. I think they're dumb.
I think they should count towards the roster for that day.
Absolutely.
And then you have to make room for somebody for him for that 3 seconds before he retires.
Could you imagine
signs the next piece of paper that says, I retire?
Could you imagine having to cut a guy?
That's sorry, why. Man. I think it'd be hilarious. It just shows how stupid these
technically speaking, are. You don't have to bring your roster up to date until after training camp. So right now, in the offseason, it's fine.
But imagine if they did it in June. So like who was it that retired? Scott Schultz.
Yeah, I was going to say Schultz when he retired in the middle of the year.
Yeah. I mean, he was under contract. But imagine if he would have went to Winnipeg, decided to retire like players do when they go there, apparently. And
it's not just here anymore.
Right? I'm all for the honoring the numbers, the names. You know, not so much the numbers, but names.
Don't retire numbers. It's stupid.
Okay, yeah.
But one-day contracts? Get rid of them. Agreed. In every sport.
Yes, agreed. Okay, retiring numbers. And this
do we have a bell sound here?
Yeah,
it's
ding,
dumb.
Ding, ding.
It's dumb.
This all came about when Ray Elgar was on the Green Zone talking with Warren Woods. And Woods, he started, was it last year?
Yeah.
Retire Ray's number, retire 81. For a guy like Ray Elgar, I absolutely agree. His number should be retired. Only because, I'm not a big fan of retiring numbers, but only because, look at the other three guys that have their numbers retired that have signs outside of the city.
Oh, no.
Ray Elgard is one of them.
I
you have Dave Ridgway.
I get that.
You have Ron Lancaster, and you have George Reed, and you have Ray Elgard, who's sitting there all by himself. I thought it was actually really interesting that he said that he hated the fact that G-Roy got number 81 when he came here in 2013.
And that's why I think this was dumb. Retiring numbers is a dated thing. Like I said, there's like three reasons why you should retire numbers. Tragedy, like the Riders have.
Yep.
If they were the best in the game in their generation, Wayne Gretzky. I understand that one.
Should Wayne Gretzky's number be retired league-wide?
No.
Like, are you telling me that his number should be retired by the St. Louis Blues? Congratulations on your 30 terrible games in St. Louis.
Should be retired by the Penguins. But that's beside the point. That was a league decision, and
I mean, he is the greatest ever.
But my point is, if a guy wants to wear 99 on his back in the NHL, do it. Same thing that happened to Josh Hosang when he wore 66. If you want to put that target on your back, so be it. You can do it if you absolutely have to. But this, in fact, team guy, he did this. He had a great run. Like, why the hell is Ryan Smith's number retired in Edmonton? What the hell did he actually do?
You know what? In hockey, it makes sense because you have 23 guys on your roster, and there's 99 numbers. Well, 98 numbers that you can have. I suppose it could be 99 number zero. Yeah. But so they're still.
Is there anybody in the, with the number zero in the NHL?
Was at one point, but I can't think of
anyway. Sorry.
But there's so many more. With football, you have 53 plus on your roster at any given time. I get it. You can't just go and retire numbers all the time for everybody. Otherwise, we're going to have a number seven retired. We're going to have number six retired, if you ask people. We're going to have number four retired, right? Like, I mean, you're going to have so many of these numbers. And you can't do that, especially when you can't just, okay, well, let's say I'm a quarterback. All the numbers that I want are retired. Well, I'll just be number 93. Well, you can't, because that's designated for D linemen.
Not necessarily. We had 98 quarterback last year. His name is this game here.
Oh, Gardner.
Yeah, Gardner was 98 because he wore that in Michigan because that number was retired and Michigan bestowed it upon him in honor of Harmon. And it's a big thing in Michigan to wear 98. Like, you have to be voted on it. But the fact of the matter is, you can honor the numbers, put signs up, hang banners, do what the hell you want. Retiring numbers is dumb. Like, I don't understand. If a guy wants to wear 81, G. Roy Simon comes in, he should be allowed to wear 81. If I wanted to wear 81, you know, I just walked off the street, yeah, I can understand why he'd be pissed.
Johnny Quinn.
There you go. Good example. Johnny friggin' Quinn. But, yeah, sure, he can wear 81, but he has to understand that number's up there, that number means something to these players. I need to actually play to the elevation of that number if they want to wear it.
It the line should be drawn at the Ring of Honor. Put the name up. Surround your stadium with names. I don't care if you put 75 names up there. It limit it because then it becomes pointless. That's what the plaza's for. But retiring numbers is dumb. I'm with you on that one. 100%. Tragedy notwithstanding.
Yes.
You know, guys die. Okay. You know. Mm-hmm. But guy was great. Cool. There's the plaza. Enjoy.
Also, if you retire number 81 for Railguard, you should also retire number 72, because that's what he wore when he broke into the league.
Besides, you should be retiring number 80 long before 81.
Also agreed.
And I love Railguard, but
I don't know where I stand on that. I really don't know. If I had to retire one of the two, which one I'd pick? I really don't know.
You almost have to do both.
Yeah.
And there's the problem.
So
where do you draw that line of where the greatness line drops? Is it Hall of Fame guys? Because that's a pretty big group. Where do you cut it off? The answer is death. That's it. And
like
Wayne,
you said,
Gretzky.
Like, if you change the game, if you transformed a franchise, Henry Burris. He changed every franchise he owned. We should retire his number.
The number one is just...
Yeah. But... No, it's just no reason to get stupid. The fact of the matter is, you can honor the numbers. I'm never saying you can't honor. You can do the entire ceremony. In fact, you could. The guy wearing 81 on Ray Elgard Day, he doesn't wear 81 that day. I don't care. But retire the number, taking the number out of circulation makes no sense.
That's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. So, ratio. That kind of thing came up.
Horatio Kane.
I wish I had the voice to be able to do these.
Yeah!
So, Three Down Nation comes out with a report saying both the CFL and the CFLPA are both on board with lowering the amount of Canadian starters needed from 7 to 5. Everyone loses their minds. And I think it's absolutely hilarious. So, one, we'll kind of go in order here. One, is this just a tactic by the CFL to leak a little bit of information to just kind of put feelers out there? Or is the CFLPA, you know, actually on board with this? Because we've seen the CFLPA, generally speaking, is filled with Canadian reps, O-linemen, generally. Would they actually want to lower the ratio? So like, is this just a negotiation tactic?
That's the first question. I'm willing to put money on the fact that this leak came out from the league to drive a wedge amongst all of them.
And it worked.
And it worked so well. Like, I laugh at the narrative when Randy Ambrosi was hired, that Randy Ambrosi was a player and a player's rep. He's going to bridge the gap when these tough negotiations come in through, and it'll be a harmonious negotiation, and there will be no stoppage, and blah, 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 blah.
He answers to the owners.
And
he does not answer to players.
I am picturing Randy Ambrosi like a Viking burning every village on his way through as he pillages the country. Like, that he shook the members of that union. You had players in public essentially shouting at each other, calling each other trash because of their passports.
I loved all the comments about guys in the CFL being NFL rejects. I'm sorry, you're all probably NFL rejects.
That was Ricky Foley that brought that up. Guess what? You're an NFL reject too.
Like, I'm with you 100%. This is done by the league. And why wouldn't they? With one little leak, you've got that huge gap that you need to get what you want into this, the bargaining discussion. Because you've shown immediately how ununified this group of people is.
But the thing is, we all know that they're not unified.
But it takes one step for everybody to say. There's always once. Because they always go, no, this time's going to be different. It's all going to be different. We're changed. We're all together. You're not.
So here's why the players aren't unified. One, they look out for number one. They don't look out for the guy beside them.
They
don't
be. Care. Their careers are short.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I don't care what the guy next to me makes. I care what I make. No. Like, should I get paid more than that guy because I'm better than him? Maybe. But that's a totally different. The wage gap is a totally different topic. It's an extension of the ratio talk as well. Two, the players aren't unified because they all sign contracts. If they were actually unified, all these free agents, the 300 and some odd free agents that are out there, every single one of them would not have signed a contract. We're going to stand together. Let's get a good deal done for the league so that we all get something good out of it. Guess what? They saw the dollar signs. They're like, yep, sign me up. That's all it comes down to. It comes down to money.
You know,
and like you said, Greg, their careers are short. They got to make bank. Absolutely agree. I'd be doing the exact same thing. I don't care about any other guys. Like, yeah, I care about them. They're my teammates and they're, you know, my brothers and everything. And I care about them. But financially, I got to look out for me.
There's a huge difference watching contract negotiations in leagues like NHL, NFL, NBA, where these guys are minimum making $500,000. They can afford to sit out and wait and get a better deal as a group. Some of these guys are making 60,000 Canadian and maybe seeing 20,000 American by the time they get home. They need to get contracts. They need to play football. They need to get paid.
And we've all talked to players off the record where they've admitted, the guy next to me is making way less than me, and he's an all-star, and I'm not. And that's coming from the Canadian players because their passport is worth so much more, which cracks me up when you got a guy like Alex Singleton basically thumbing his nose at it. When he is lucky he had that Canadian passport.
Congrats, your mom was born in Toronto and then moved directly to the United States right after that. That does not make you Canadian.
If it wasn't for that, he still would have been a star in this league. He would have made so much less.
I don't even know if he makes it up here at that point, because the biggest reason he's in the CFL
is because he
was Canadian. Does he get that look if he doesn't have that passport to begin with?
No, and in his defense, he does have dual citizenship well too. But look at a guy like Ben Cahoon, one of the greatest Canadian receivers of all time. Definitely not Canadian. He's from Utah.
Yep.
Darius Blaydak, he's not Canadian. His mom was born in Canada, but that was it. Yep. But and the league has this little loophole set in place because the Canadian talent is so thin that let's create a little bit of a loophole, anything that we can find, to beefen up our Canadian talent.
And now you want to add a 10th team and dilute it even more?
And that's the next thing. The thing I've seen about this is a lot of people think that you're taking jobs away from Canadians, especially when you're going to throw in these two random global positions or global roster spots for other guys. No, you're not taking away Canadian jobs. You're taking away a couple of them being starters and relegating them to backups.
Where they belong.
Where quite some regularly. Of them do belong. Do you think Corey Watson this year, he's going to be our seventh starter, probably at receiver, right? Like, he's going to be starting.
Would you rather see him or a Kyren Moore?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it comes down to. So I have no problem with Corey Watson being a backup and being available, and you need a lot of those guys, but you're not taking away their job. They still have value. They're going to be there as a backup. They're special teams. A lot of special teams is, well, for the most part, Canadian players. A lot of linebackers. The Riders have like 10 Canadian linebackers. They're all on special teams. But you're not taking jobs away from players. You're starting the best. Mm-hmm. And guess what? You're still going to have your Andrew Harris is starting, because Andrew Harris has earned it. He forced the BC Lions to play him because he was so good. Yeah, he might have got a shot because he was a territorial junior, but he didn't count against the roster, so you could bring in those guys anytime. Zach Evans, same thing. Territorial Junior, bring him in. The guy proved that he can play in this league. He's an all-star, two-time Grey Cup champion. These guys are good, and the best ones will still rise to the top, and they're still going to get paid. They're still going to be your starters. And you're still going to have the great local success stories, the Canadian boy stories. But you're also going to have these Americans that come in that are clearly better, and they're going to succeed as well, and it's going to make your overall team better. Don't you want your team to be better? I want my team to be better.
The argument I love the most is the guys who go, well, if you don't have that sixth or seventh Canadian, you're not going to see the guys like, you know, Chris Getzlaff, who slowly works his way and gets that game time to earn or to get better. I said, no, but what about that American kid who's sitting on the bench who was better than him to begin with but isn't playing, and how much better he could be? This idea that there's a whole straw man argument about that sixth or seventh Canadian and the game time, and it rubs me the wrong way.
And to rewind two things. One, at one point, we were the first ones with the global player thing. I had to learn Spanish overnight. And two, thank you, LFA, for jumping the gun on that one. And secondly, back to your original point, is the PA for it? Of course they are. Because your primary, like we said, it's a lot of Canadian linemen. Who are the ones that are going to get paid no matter what? Canadian linemen. Why? It's easy to throw in Canadian linemen. You're going to see more linemen still get paid a ton because that's where the positions are going to be. You don't have to worry about trying to find that token Canadian receiver anymore.
Well, and it's finding the drop-off level too, right? Like, I mean, look at the top American O linemen that are in the CFL. Is there really much of a drop-off between them and the top Canadian? No. I would argue that the Canadians are better. So you're still going to start them. You're still going to start the Canadian because they're actually better and the drop-off isn't as bad. You compare that to the drop-off at, say, a Corey Watson versus, you know, an American receiver that can come in and put up more than 200 token yards that the Riders got out of their seventh receivers last year. There's a higher ceiling for that American player.
Well, and the guy that stands out to me was Christian Jones. We couldn't find a way to get him involved on offense all year. Meanwhile, we're running out or trotting out Rob Begg and Josh Stanford. Nobody wants to see those guys. I mean, yes, okay, Rob Begg, at least you get the name. I'm not sorry, Rob Begg.
How big are Christian Jones' biceps compared to Rob Begg's?
Oh, they're not even close.
Well, there you go.
I mean, you're not wrong there. And obviously those guys, people want to see them, but nobody wants to watch a guy just run a route, never get looked at. I mean, did Rob Begg have a catch last year?
He had precisely zero catches for 0 yards.
And we all love Rob Begg, but would he have been out there if we were starting five or six Canadians?
No, they put him out there because they had to.
He brought leadership, guys. I'm sick of this. Leadership. We were going down the toilet till we brought him back. Okay, I'm done.
Well, it's been the same, and sorry to maybe throw in another conversation, but this whole idea that we have to sign Weston Dressler because we're missing leadership again in our receiving core. We're not.
One-day contract.
Please.
If he signs anything but a one-day contract, and I love Weston Dressler, I broke my jersey rule for Weston friggin' Dressler, I will flip a table.
If you get a rash of injuries mid-season and you have three, like what happened to Calgary last year and their receivers, absolutely sign Dressler then, because he still has value. He can't play a full season anymore. He's proven over the past 3-4 years that he can't do that anymore. And let's be honest here. Yeah, he's a 1,000-yard receiver when he's healthy, but that's 55 yards a game.
You can bring in Weston Dressler for like the Chad Owens deal, where he doesn't play until like like 3 weeks before the end of the season, where he has fresh legs and you need a receiver. But yeah, he's not going to make the full season. I'm sorry, he hasn't done that in years.
And his contract demands are probably too high
for the role that he would get.
He'd be delegated to a backup or this like the fifth or sixth receiver, and that's what his role is now. I know it's tough for these guys to admit that. And I know if I were a player, I'd have a tough time admitting that too. That's just the nature of the beast, but that's what it is.
Show me a player who doesn't want to be on the field, and I'll show you Drew Tate.
Oh, wow. Okay. we got to move on here. I do want to keep talking ratio. So dropping from 7 to 5, do you guys think 5 is a good number? Because I think it's really just a negotiation tactic by the league that they want to get it down to 6. Eventually to 5 when Halifax joins, because you're going to have to find another, you know, 20 Canadians to fill the league, which we don't have 20 good ones available to join the CFL and all of a sudden be stars and be formidable as Canadian talent. I think this is a tactic to get it down to 6 right now, with the possibility of moving it to 5 when Halifax comes in.
I say go 6 and go 3-3.
Think it should be mandatory 3 on offense, 3 on defense?
It's the easiest way possible. The Canes walk out with their hands up. You don't have to worry about... No, I'm dead serious.
No, you gotta stamp a huge Canadian flag on their forehead.
Right in the middle. Because, how many... remember, was it 2-3 years ago where the Riders were cheating because we didn't have enough... Because the way the rules worked out, we didn't have enough Canadians on the field at the time. You put 3-3, you don't have to worry about it. It's ridiculous. Like, just get to 6. I don't care how you do it. I think 3-3 is the easiest way to do it.
I'd say it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that when the season starts, we're looking at 6 Canadians. And I'm all for it.
And most teams are probably going to try to hide all their Canadians. Well, not hide their Canadians, but put most of their Canadians on their line, on their offensive lines.
So that's the spot where we seem to have the most talent when it comes to, what's the best way to describe it? Comparable talent.
There's not a lot of Canadian skill players that are pro-level worthy, and if they are, they're in the NFL.
That's true.
But even then, there's still not that many in the NFL at skilled positions. So they're good players, don't get me wrong. Yep. They can still compete, and they're still pretty level with the American players that do come in, but...
Also, people, stop, for the love of God, stop highlighting, it's the Canadian Football League.
It's the Canadian Football League because we give a point for failure.
We're nice like that.
We're nice. That's what... It's the quirky little rules. It's where three the game downs. Is actually played that makes the game the Canadian Football League. It's not because they employ Canadian players.
Just wait till CFL 2.0 becomes the GFL or the Global Football League, and then watch people freak out.
Jeez. There's already talk about a game in Mexico.
Oh.
And Piffle's podcast will be there.
I'm telling you right now, if they're smart, it's a Rider game. And I understand no team wants to give up their Rider game, but if you want a group of fans that will travel, and Red Tag is one of your sponsors, you make it a Rider game, that place is going nuts.
They already sell all the Rider gear down in Mexico. Yeah, it's not league,
mandated,
but still, you can't go anywhere in Mexico and not find Rider gear. So,
I understand no team wants to give up their Rider game. It'll be like Toronto and
Toronto do it.
Montreal.
You don't draw that much more in Toronto.
Exactly. So, make it Riders versus Toronto, ship it out there. And that stadium will be full of green.
And you're still going to get the huge TV numbers, so you can sell it, spin it that way if you're the league. That, hey, we had a million people watching our game here just in Canada, let alone whoever watched it in Mexico too. So
that's the way to do it. And I hope it is Riders so we can go.
If anyone wants to send us there,
yeah,
contact us.
Sponsorship? No.
We joke about that, but we're actually kind of
serious. We're kidding, not kidding.
WestJet, if you're listening. We don't even need first class. Just
put at least one of us in a seat. The rest can go under the plane or the baggage. We're fine.
I can probably fit in carry-on.
No. None of us can. Anyway, the CBA talks are not going to go away, and the players are clearly divided. You have American players arguing with Canadian players. You have
former players arguing with
former players, and... It's going to be a detriment to the league? No, it's not going to be a detriment to the league. You're not taking out the Canadians of the game.
You have people trying to kiss Deron's ass.
Speaking of that, the Deron Carter Kiss My Ass Club. I love this. It's hilarious. Deron Carter has a bet with a guy here in Regina, actually.
Yeah.
The guy said that Deron Carter will not last the entire year with the BC Lions or with another team at the end of the season. And Deron Carter says, yeah, I will. I'll bet you. You got to kiss my butt if I do. And the guy says, yeah, okay, sure. Deron Carter came back and said, no, seriously, I will bet you. You have to kiss my butt. What do you want in return? The guy said, Grey Cup tickets. Deron Carter said, well, that's easy for me. I want confirmation. You're going to kiss my butt. The guy said, yep. So apparently there's a little handshake Twitter deal right now.
And when this happens, Piffle's podcast will be there. No, we will not.
If Deron comes to Regina for it, we might actually be there.
I will go that. Because I want to make the image I made a reality. Just, I hope his butt's not that white. Oh, Vince McMahon.
Lives in Miami. It's significantly more tanned than that.
Can I just say how much fun it is to have Deron Carter back on
Twitter? Yes.
I love it. And I said it on Twitter, but I'm saying it here too. It's entertaining to watch him rile people up. Some days I wish I was that level of troll.
Well, it says his Twitter bio, expert level troll.
He's not wrong.
Anyways,
he's got somebody literally getting ready to kiss his butt.
So the Deron Carter Kiss My Ass Club. Fantastic.
Love it.
Thank you, 1990s wrestling.
Yeah.
and Vince McMahon.
Yeah, and William Regal.
Anyway, we got a couple questions here at on Twitter here, at Piffles Pod. So anytime you want to ask us questions, what you want us to talk about, send them to us, and we'll do our best here. Couple topics. Riders going into camp with two field goal kickers in Tyler Crepinia and Brett Lauther. How is it going to play out?
Simple. Lauther gets the job, and Crepinia gets cut or traded.
Crepinia's going to be trade bait once he shows he can kick again.
Co-side on all the above. Christian Jones, Marcus Thigpen, Kyron Moore, Luchez Pierre-Foy all had a fantastic season with returns. Are we going to have room for Christian Jones?
Yes.
100%.
Especially if they cut down the ratio.
So who doesn't return?
Like, do kick returns? I bet you they leave Pierre-Foy back as a DB. Because he's going to be going into this season as a full-time DB.
I don't even think Thigpen's going to return a lot. You'll go with Jones and Moore, if anything.
Thigpen will be heavily invested in the offense this year as kind of the number two running back. So I think he'll be
a little thunder and lightning with Powell.
Yeah, absolutely. Could the Riders still be in on Kevin Glenn, or are we set? Or are we set with Cody Fajardo at number two?
I always think the third quarterback spot and fourth quarterback should be a young guy you're trying to groom. I don't think we need Kevin Glenn unless Fajardo goes down or Zach goes down, God forbid.
If Kolaros goes down, we call Kevin Glenn.
Co-sign all of the above. I think that's what we're doing here.
And is there room for Jeff Knox Jr. or Otha Foster?
Of course there is.
Always room.
Do we sign them? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Jeff Knox Jr., maybe. Otha Foster, no.
There's a spot for Jeff Knox, I think. There's not for Otha Foster. No. His replacement's already better.
Yes.
And we know that with Derek Moncrief. So... as good as guys they are, I don't see it. And I think if Jeff Knox would be anywhere, he'd be signed already. So I'm not sure what the deal is there.
Well, apparently the Riders haven't reached out to him at all, according to him. So they must not think there's a spot for him either.
Or they think they're set where they're at. And defense is pretty freaking good.
That tells me they have somebody from camp or that was on the roster last year that they're happy with to take a Guavin spot. And I'm good with that.
So am I. I'm not worried about our defense at all. I'd love to see Knox. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to have embarrassment or inches, but we don't need him.
I'm not worried about our team at all. I said it in my article last week, and I got crapped on for it, but the Riders finished second this year. Calling it right now.
Because we need Weston Dressler.
I did say 11-7.
I don't know 11-7 gets you second. I think 11-7 might get you third.
Well, then we go 12-6. Okay. Screw it. I'll go the horseman route. We're going 18-0.
Oh, come on. Easy. Be realistic.
17-2.
Easy there, Ballantine.
Ballantine.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I know.
That was for a reason.
Yeah.
All right, so if you have any questions that you want us to talk about, could be absolutely anything, send them to us at PifflesPod on Twitter. That's probably the best place to get them to us, and we'll do our best to talk about them. Really quick, guys, I saw this, and this is fun for me, because I love March Madness. March Madness is my favorite sports tournament. There's nothing better than it. The drama of the first 4 days is just absolutely incredible. The upsets, the Cinderella runs, it's just everything about it is great.
The NCAA perfected this thing. It's fast action, short games, and a ton of them on the TV at the same time.
Four on at the same time.
Oh, it's so
all
good.
All day, Thursday, Friday.
As a UCF fan, I have to say it's really nice to see my team get invited into a, you know,
yeah, they're
going to
be
tournament.
Duke in the second round. Anyway, also the fact that Duke should be a number one seed, should they be the number one overall seed? No, and I'm a Duke fan. They're just trying to do their best so they can rig so Zion gets his championship. Anyway, that's beside the point. We won't talk basketball here. But what I saw on SB Nation on their Twitter was really cool, and it was the best cereal bracket. So I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Absolutely.
So we have, there's 16 teams, so we'll kind of go through this really quick. Lucky Charms, Wheaties, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Golden Grahams, Honey Nut Cheerios, and Raisin Bran. That's just on the left side of the bracket. So, really quick, Lucky Charms or Wheaties?
Lucky Charms.
Wheaties in the upset.
Wow. Lucky
Who
Charms
the hell actually eats Wheaties? On purpose.
I've seen you play goal. I know you don't.
Apple Jacks or Fruit Loops? Keep in mind these are American ones too, so... That's why we're going to get...
I love me my Apple Jacks. I'm sorry, they're damn good.
I do like Apple Jacks, but it's Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops is a 5? That's a Cinderella story if I've ever seen one. 3, Cinnamon Toast Crunch against 6 Golden Grahams. Criminally, it's an offense. You should be arrested for Cinnamon Toast Crunch not being a 1 seed. A 3C? That's the greatest 3C of all time.
I can't disagree with that. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, that one. Honey Nut Cheerios and Raisin Bran.
Can neither of them make
the it? The best comment I saw on this was someone said, why is Raisin Bran in there? And someone said they got in as an automatic bid because they won the brand conference. Absolutely. So if you follow the NCAA tournament even a little bit, you know that crap teams get in there because they win their crap conference. So that's with Raisin Bran here, which I thought that was hilarious. So Honey Nut Cheerios or Raisin Bran?
Neither.
That's basically like babies versus old people. Honey Nut Cheerios, easily.
All right. They're both losing to Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they have a bye basically straight to the finals. On the other side of the bracket, Frosted Flakes versus Rice Krispies.
Frosted Flakes. Unless you got marshmallows in there, then Rice Krispies.
Yeah, Snap, Crackle, and Pop, get out of here.
The best I saw on this was someone says, really? Frosted Flakes are number one? They're not good. The next person? No, they're not good. They're great! Fantastic. I laughed hard. Number four, Cocoa Puffs against 5 Frosted Mini Wheats.
I'm going the upset on the Frosted Mini Wheats.
I mean, Cocoa Puffs because chocolate?
Nah. Chocolate doesn't belong in there.
Reese Puffs are my go-to cereal right now, so it's basically the same thing.
Honey Smacks or Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles. Massively underrated here.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like either of them. Honey Smacks.
Smacks is just like honey-coated puff wheat.
The dude is a lizard, right?
Frog.
Whatever he is, he's cool. Captain Crunch or Trix?
See, once again, we've got Trix, which are basically a Fruit Loops, Fruity Pebbles knockoff here. I don't know how all three of these cereals ended up on here. I'm a little insulted. And Captain Crunch cuts your mouth, so Trix.
Spreading lies?
Yes.
But the blood adds flavor. Captain Crunch all the way. All
right. So, who do you guys have in the finals? And who wins?
She's going to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Frosted Flakes, I guess, because the right side of the bracket sucks.
Right.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch in a walk.
Yeah, the right side, Frosted Flakes is the only one on there where I'm like, yeah, I would eat that regularly. Not by choice. If I had the left bracket, I'm going that way all the way.
Right, that's the left side.
It's stacked. It's not even fair. Oh,
that's the bracket of death right there.
I went Cinnamon Toast Crunch beats Frosted Flakes in the final.
I think all three of us have that then. Yeah.
No one else on the right side. It's like
I have Fruit Loops going all the way to the Final Four, though.
Yep, 100%.
That's my Cinderella there.
I can see that. Over Lucky Charms? Yeah, over Lucky Charms, I can see that. And I had Wheaties beating Lucky Charms anyway. But I had Apple Jacks, so I actually had Apple Jacks in my Final Four.
You know, I'm just realizing, I'm looking at this again, and no, Lucky Charms is versus Frosted Flakes in the final.
Lucky Charms over Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Yep. Get out of my house.
if French Toast Crunch was on here, we wouldn't even have a tournament.
Because that's garbage.
They're in the NIT tournament that nobody actually cares about. So, all right, March Madness. That's fun. Cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Lucky Charms are amazing. You get rid of all the non marshmallows first, and then you just pound down the marshmallows.
Oh, did you just buy the Ow. Were you available to get the box of just marshmallows?
Oh man, I bought bags of those. They had those at
Bulk Barn.
No, well, I don't know about Bulk Barn, but you could put it at the yogurt places. Those frozen yogurt.
Like Menchie's.
Yeah, and I would go in there and just buy the bag of marshmallows.
I hope they employed somebody to sit there and pull out the marshmallows out of the box.
I want that job. One for you. One for me. One for you. I'll admit the cereal in Lucky Charms is awful, but the marshmallows more than makes up for it.
We got to move on here. We got one more segment for you this week. And this week on the Piffles Podcast, we're happy to be joined by one of the greatest kickers of all time. Pretty much started his career in Saskatchewan, not quite, but finished it out in BC with the Lions. Mr. Paul McCallum joins us. Paul, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Now, your CFL career, you actually started, you signed in Hamilton first before you kind of bounced around a little bit, BC, the Ottawa Rough Riders. You finally landed in Saskatchewan behind Dave Ridgway. Tell us about the start of your CFL career and being with Dave Ridgway in his final years.
I was bouncing around, like you said, a little bit. And I think Dave, I was on BC's practice roster, I think, at the time when Dave got hurt. I think he pulled a quad muscle and Saskatchewan called and came out and I played, four games, I think it was, a long time ago. And I played four games and then came back to BC and that was 94 and then I think 95 I came back out, played two games at the end of the year for Saskatchewan and then and went to NFL Europe, came back in 96, and that's when I got started.
Now you mentioned NFL Europe. Excuse me. What was it like to go from the CFL over to a league like NFL Europe? How was that year?
It's interesting. I mean, it's like all NFL funded and everything like that, so everything was a lot different. When I started in the CFL, you had to basically buy your own shoes. But yeah, they took care of you. They gave you everything. Everything was looked after. It was it was a little bit different that way. A lot more coaches and assistants. Just a lot more money.
And so in 2001, you actually kicked the longest field goal in CFL history. How does that feel? Like, just being the record books for something like that.
It was good, actually. It was kind of neat. It was kind of fun. How that actually happened was really interesting because I think it was maybe two games before that we were playing, and it was the end of the game. The weather conditions were pretty much the same, and I think I was hitting the ball even a little bit further than the 63 yards, and I wanted Danny Baird to let me kick the field goal, and he looked out and he just looked at me like I was crazy, and I was mad. The TV camera saw me. They asked me, what was said. I told them I wanted to kick it instead of going for the Hail Mary. And I guess after the game, they asked Danny, well, you know, how far can you kick it? And Danny's like, I really don't know. So the next week in practice, he had me kicking really long field goals. And then for the game that I kicked it in, I didn't even expect it. I was kind of running out. I think I might have been like 4 or 5 yards out on the field to go punt. When Dylan Ching, the holder, said no, and he grabbed my field goal tee for me, and we went, and so it was kind of it was really neat, unexpected, but yeah, it's kind of cool.
Now, if you're looking at the roster of today's kickers, is there a guy that stands out to you as a guy that could maybe break that record?
Oh, there's probably a few guys that could break it. I mean, there's lots of guys that have this leg strength, but there's lots of variables. It comes down to the time of the game, the score of the game, kind of what the coach is thinking. So there's a lot more to it than just go out and kick a really long field goal. It's the coaches are gonna decide whether they want to punt or not. So there's a few. I think Justin Medlock could probably do it. It's one of those things where the guys have the leg strength, just get the opportunity.
Now, before we get back to a couple things in the CFL, I want to talk really briefly about your time in the XFL. You were with the Las Vegas Outlaws. You actually scored the first points in XFL history with a field goal. Do you have that ball?
Let me think here. No. The guy who has that ball... I kicked it, and in Vegas we didn't have any nets, and so I kicked the field goal, and the guy asked me if I would sign it for him. I'm like, okay, well, I'll sign it. I said, but I'd actually like it. And so I had his phone number and everything, and then at the end of the year I asked him if I could get it from him. I'll get him another ball, or I'll pay him a little bit for it, but I think he wanted like $7,000 for it, so I told him he'd keep it.
Wow.
Wow.
still with the XFL, did you have a nickname? Because, we had a He Hate Me, right, on the back of the jersey. Did you have anything cool that you wanted lined up?
No, actually, it just wasn't me. We were sitting in the trainer's room, and when we found out we could put whatever we wanted on the back of our jerseys, and I remember Rod Smart coming up with He Hate Me, and then guys were joking about they wanted me to put Laces Out. And I think like the Replacements, the movie there where they had that, the scrawny drunk smoking kicker, they actually were, pooling money. They wanted me to go out on the field with a cigarette in my mouth and kind of do that, because Vince McMahon was all about things like that. I probably could have done that and gotten away with it. I would have been fine, but I thought, nah, I was into it more seriously than that. It wasn't a joke to me. So
did you ever get to meet Vince McMahon while you were there?
Yeah, he came down. Vince McMahon came down with Dick Ebersol from NBC and talked to all the teams and in one of the conference rooms and casinos. So I think there was four teams in Vegas, and the other four teams, I think, were in Miami, I think. And so they made the rounds. So we got to meet Vince and Dick Ebersol and talk to him. And then Dick Butkus came out to one of our practices. I think he came out because we practiced in training camp. He did that. And we were practicing, I think it was the LA Extreme were practicing with us. So we split the time on the fields for training camp. So he came out and spoke to both of us. And I think he went over to the other teams and spoke to them as well. So it's kind of neat, interesting.
So with your experience in the XFL and, of course, the CFL, and now the XFL is coming back next year, and with the AAF now, considering you played in the XFL and CFL, like, what do you think the CFL has to be aware of with these leagues that are trying to pop up and take players away?
It's just the money. You know, guys, they don't play for very long. They want to make as much money as they can, and they want some stability. It's, you know, with the new CFL, CBA, you know, players can sign after a year, they can sign one-year deals. I haven't followed the leagues to figure out, is there an overlap or anything like that? You know, for me, there was really no overlap in games in the XFL, and I was actually asked if I would come back after going to the CFL. So, you know, I was wanting to, being a kicker, I thought, okay, I can come back and go back and forth. But, you know, being a skill position or a lineman, a linebacker, or a running back, you know, that's a big toll on your body. So I don't think guys are going to want to go back and forth. So they're probably just going to want to go where the money's at.
Now, football careers are notoriously short for the majority of players. You managed to hold on to, I believe it was a 23-year professional career. What do you attribute to that the most?
Luck. it's luck, being able to stay competitive at a high level, being able to stay healthy, you know, look after myself, stay flexible, and just be smart, you know, not do too much, and it's a long, they're long seasons, and yeah, I mean, just very fortunate, you know, I was able to go out and do my job and be successful and you know, get the confidence of the coaches and your teammates, and you know, you just keep on going. Not taking the highs too high and the lows too low, and just keep on plugging along.
Now, we all know how your CFL Saskatchewan career ended, obviously not the way that we all kind of hoped for, but I want to go to your time in BC. What do you remember best about your time in BC?
I mean, that's where, you know, I grew up and everything down the road from the park. Played junior football, practiced with the Lions. You know, lots of good memories. You know, obviously winning my first Grey Cup in 06. And then the 2011, the way we won that, I mean, to start off 0-5 and then come back, and I think we won 8 in a row. Yeah, it was just the teammates that I had, you know, having this success. You know, it's, to be honest, unfortunate that I wasn't able to win one in Grey Cup in Saskatchewan. I thought that would have been pretty darn exciting. But, you know, in BC, it was good as well.
So after everything that happened with the way you left and then you go to BC, did you ever expect to come back in 2015?
No. The way I left it, and I've said it many, many times before, I mean, I left just because of the management at the time and the coaches. It was nothing, not the coaches, the coach and the management. You know, obviously they just didn't want me. And that's the only reason I left. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. You know, it's what happened. I mean, that was just a small group of people that did what they did. And, you know, obviously there's still people who weren't happy with what happened in 94. But, hey, what happened, it happened. And, you know, I moved on from it. If people can't, they can't. But, yeah, it's one of those things. That's why I think I, you know, made a bit of a statement when I came back, which was, you know, I have no hard feelings. So, yeah.
And then was finishing your career in BC in 2016, was that kind of a priority to you as well?
No, actually, that's a funny story. So I actually flew out for the last game in Taylor Field because I wanted to be there, and it happened to be against the Lions, and I was in the press box with Rod Peterson and actually the Premier Brad Wall, and we were talking just before halftime, and I think the kicker Richie Loney, he missed a field goal just before halftime, and so I had a couple drinks and everything, and so I went out to go grab something to eat at halftime, and I ran into the assistant general manager who I went to school with, and I basically said to him that, you know, the kid's struggling, you know, you better go out and, you know, get another kicker, because you can't go into the playoffs, you know, with the kicker struggling. You just can't do that. And I think Swayze Waters was available at the time, and there was talk about him coming, and I told him, I said, seriously, you know, don't be stupid. Go get a kicker that, you know, you've got some confidence in, and, you know, Richie's confidence wasn't very good at the time, but I was saying it in such a way where I was sort of joking at him, but I was telling him he wouldn't be too smart if he didn't. So anyway, I flew home, and the next day, and I was just pulling into the driveway, and he called me, and I had actually sold him his house, and so I thought, you know, what's going on, why are you calling me, what's wrong with your house? And he just said, no, hey, what are you doing next weekend? And I was like, what do you mean, what am I doing next weekend? And he asked me if I wanted to kick. And I was laughing. I go, that's very funny. I thought he was joking. And he goes, no, I'm serious. So I went in the next day, talked to Wally, and that's literally how it happened. So it was kind of funny.
Quick question, though, outside of football. You played Tier 3 soccer in Scotland?
No, that's, I don't know. I went to play professional soccer with the Scottish in the Scottish Premier League, and I was there for about 6 months, and I was playing with on the reserve team with St. Mirren. They were in the Scottish Premier at the time. I'm not sure if they're relegated or not now. And so yeah, I played against like Dundee United and played with some World Cup players, and yeah, I was. And so anyway, I did that and came back after giving that up. Came back, and that's when I started playing football.
What position did you play?
I was forward midfielder.
All right, and final one here for you, Paul. You got an open mic here. You can say anything you want to the people of Saskatchewan and all the CFL fans that are listening right now. What do you want to say?
You know what? It's hard to say something. Such a short period of time with, I've got so many things I'd like to say to them. I mean, you know, thank you for all the support that I had and all the kind things that people said and did for me when things weren't so good, and the support that I had, and just coming out and supporting the league as a whole. You know, without the fans, you know, in Canada and Saskatchewan, the type that they have in Saskatchewan, you know, for sure there wouldn't be a league. And just thanks very much for you know, having, was it 23-24 years of my life, and you know, I can't say enough.
Well, I will say for me personally, you're a big reason why I am a fan of this league and the CFL, because I remember it was a preseason game, I think it was the Riders hosting Edmonton, and you kicked the game-winning field goal in preseason, and that was my first memory of going to a game with my mom, and since then I've been hooked. So awesome. I have you to attribute to that. So thank you very much, and thanks for everything you've done in for the CFL. You made it a great place here. So thanks for that, and thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Paul McCallum here on the Pivots Podcast. Thanks again, Paul. But that's going to do it for us this week here. Thank you so much for checking out episode 111 of the Pivots Podcast, not 112, Steve.
I mistype. You can bite me. Lord knows I don't know how to type at the best of times.
There's t-shirts that prove that.
Yes.
Coke.
Yeah, okay. Just flashbacks to that shirt and has me laughing.
Sure, it was amazing.
So thank you so much for joining us. We are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast, and give that thing the old thumbs up there. Check out Instagram, PifflesPod, and our website, PifflesPodcast.com. And of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible. As we leave you here, this is Tyler Gilbert with his song, Ghost Behind Your Mind. The ghost behind your mind.